What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, it's Chris.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to this week's episode of Chris vs. the People. I'm your host, Chris Clemens, and we've got a spooky little episode. Listen, it doesn't have to be October to get a little freaky up in here. So the people we're going to be talking to today have spooky, paranormal, death related stories in some capacity. I know, what a fun thing to be talking about when life is already spooky enough. If you are really scared of stuff, I don't think you're actually going to have anything to like worry about. I think a lot of these might be really funny. Although every time I start an episode with that, they always tend to be the most traumatic things we ever hear about. So I'm just gonna stop talking and I'm gonna instead remind you to subscribe to Chris vs. the People wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like video episodes, you're gonna love our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@ChrisVSThePeople. Be sure to subscribe and join the people's... the people... No, I really love our video episodes, and we're in production stages of the New York studio, so I'm very excited for that. And then, as always, we are going to be shooting the Chris vs. the People after show over on Patreon. We do it every week, and it really is, like, truly unfiltered. You will hear it all on the after show, so be sure to head on over to patreon.com/ChrisClemens. And with all of that behind us, we have our first caller.
Hello.
Hey, Madison. Welcome to Chris vs. the People. You're kicking off the episode. What death story do you have for us today?
So I have a story about my grandmother. Rest in peace.
R.I.P., baby.
It also involves my addict of a brother, which also love him. No contact, but love him.
Okay.
It first started... back in 2013, when she passed away, I actually was the one to find her.
No.
On her lounge chair, cigarette in her mouth, Super Bowl day.
I have a question that's actually serious, but what a way to go out, honestly. Cig in mouth, just doing what you loved, sitting in a recliner. Like, that's the dream.
Well, no, and she loved Super Bowl as well. It was actually the year that the whole electrical line went out. So it was a blackout Super Bowl. We all joked that, you know, she was not going to let the game play without her.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, yeah, and her electrical wires went out as well. And then that's not where you were going. So, yes.
Well, no, but they aligned, but yes.
Yeah. Wait, but to the serious question I had, are you not, like, traumatized?
Oh, no, I'm very traumatized. They were all making a joke out of it, you know, trying to adult trauma bond over it. But I was a child, and I was like, oh, trying to, you know, but...
Well, yeah, I was going to say, how old were you even if this was 2013?
So that was... I was 8.
Oh, my God. I am so sorry that that happened.
Oh, no, that was the least of it. Flash forward, parents split up. My mom has a house of her own. I'm walking home from theater camp.
Period. You fucking better improv for your life.
Yeah. Trauma equals theater kid. You know.
Oh, honey, I took the exact same pipeline. We must have passed each other.
Yeah. Walked the mile I had downhill home to my mother's house. My brothers are out in the living room on a Friday night. They were seniors at this point. They actually had the most popular kids over. They had some girls, a foreign exchange student. I remember I had a crush on him.
There was always a foreign exchange student in high school that we all had a crush on. Like, what was that? Was it just like fresh meat from a different land? And we're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Best friend's brother.
Whoa.
But yeah, came home. I specifically remember it smelling like my grandma's white people taco recipe. I was like, okay, you know, it's going to be a great night.
Oh, wait. is what is grandma's white people taco recipe?
Well, just her mixture of all the taco meat. You know, white people taco night.
I mean, like, maybe. I didn't know that it had a name and everything. But okay, sorry. I'm getting distracted here. So you smell grandma's taco. Well, no. Ooh. Okay. That's it's taco night. White people taco night. Take it away.
Yeah. Specifically grandma's. They're the best. I walk in. It's going to be a good night. My brother turns to me and goes, "Hey, you know it's grandma's birthday, right?" Ashes in hand. We have her out, you know, on the coffee table. I'm like, "Oh, okay. It's grandma's birthday." Bless up. Didn't know that.
I'm so afraid of what is to come, to be honest. You are really setting up the scene. I'm like, "Oh my God, who spills her ashes?"
Yeah, so from what I gather, okay, that's why my mom's making these tacos. It's grandma's birthday, tequila's out, mom's in the kitchen, my other brother comes around the corner, I'm putting my bag away, and all of a sudden I hear, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Who's asking that?
My other brother.
Okay.
Who comes around the corner, and he turns and goes, "Mom, your son is snorting grandma."
Wait. I'm not, like, that's not funny. It's shocking.
My mom comes out of the kitchen. Like I said, a whole group of other teenagers coming out. It seems like my brother's trying to impress these girls. They do not seem impressed at all.
No, I don't understand how snorting grandma's ashes equals impressing.
No, but he's a narcissistic male. He's very egotistical. I also walked in on him hooking up with my lesbian best friend 5 years later, so.
Was she a lesbian then? Or no, not yet?
She was at that time, but no longer.
Wait, she was a lesbian at the time, but is no longer?
No, because according to her, after she had that experience with my brother, she was single for a couple of years, and now she's in a happy relationship with a man, so.
Wait, oh my God, your brother runs a conversion therapy.
Oh, he did the same thing with my best friend's lesbian mother, too.
Okay, I am going to start an investigation on your brother, but we're getting off track, I fear. So, your brother catches your other brother snorting grandma?
Correct. And this is the middle of everybody. He just tried to, I think, kind of do it discreetly, but to get attention. It's brought to everyone's attention. My mother comes out. She's emotional. She had a couple tequila shots. He nonchalantly responds and goes, "You're just jealous because I'm closer to her than you'll ever be."
Oh my God. I mean, fuck tequila shots. I would have just shot him.
Yeah.
Wait, no. So, like, I know that you said it like 4 times now, but I just need to really lock my head in on this. Your brother took out a debit card and made a line of ashes, like Charlie XCX style?
Yeah, I'm sure there was some snow mixed in.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, I mean, not okay, because he's still sniffing grandma, but does he not? I mean, I get that he's like a straight male conversion therapist, but like, does he not wonder about the fact that he's snorting his grandma?
I don't think so. I don't think that was much of a concern.
Okay, so then what was the aftermath of this?
Honestly, I don't recall the rest. It was another trauma block, but that is definitely a core memory.
I mean, do you guys talk? Well, I know you don't talk to your brother, but like, does your family talk about this? Like, hey, remember the one time he snorted grandma?
Oh, yes, often. Actually, just this past Super Bowl, we talked about it, my brother.
Oh, and do you still talk to your mom?
Oh, yes, daily.
Okay, so does the rest of your family also have, like, no contact with your brother?
Oh, well, he doesn't contact us because he's too ashamed of his addiction issues at this point, so he's purposely no contact on his end.
Okay, listen, addiction is a disease. Snorting grandma's ashes is a choice. He should be a lot more embarrassed about that.
Amen.
Oh my God. Is there anything else crazy that's happened in your family? I mean, I've never even had the idea of snorting grandma. So that.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm going to keep writing in, so.
Oh, I cannot wait for the sequel. I mean, like, I can, but at the same time, I can't. Wow. Thank you so much, for sharing this. I don't know if I needed this, but it happened.
Well, hey, it meant a lot to me, because, you know, this was like therapy all over again.
Oh my God. No, not even close, babe. Like, I'm in the trenches with you, I fear. But thank you again, and I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Ditto.
Ditto. I love that. Bye.
Goodbye.
Y'all, what? Like, this is what, episode 45, maybe? I feel like I'm learning too much about you guys, and I'm feeling a little scared. You know? Like, I didn't know it was possible for... I thought Grandma was going to end up in the taco seasoning or something. Like, I thought that they were going to, like, have dinner, and then it was going to be, like, Grandma's inside all of us. And it's like, I know. And it's like, no, physically. Arriba. So, like, on one hand, I'm glad that didn't happen. But on the other hand, I think I would have rather it happen. I mean, if one of my siblings snorted my grandparents' ashes... Like, I don't think my brothers would do that, first of all. But if they did, I feel very lucky that I don't have any of those, like, insane ash stories of, like, people who, like, break them, or I'm drawing a blank on what else terrible can happen with ashes. But, like, wow, that was, like, off-putting, just to put it bluntly. But we have no time to think about that because we have our next call.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Chris vs. the People. What spooky story do you have for us today?
So basically I hooked up with my coworker in a cemetery.
Oh. At first I was like down to celebrate. I was like, yeah, fuck your coworker in like the good way. And then why?
Well, this is the, like, best example of why you should never hook up with your coworkers. This is, like, the worst situation.
I love that that's the lesson you're taking out of this, not don't fuck in a graveyard.
Oh, no. Like, I actually got a tattoo about this situation. I got a gravestone tattoo.
Jesus Christ, we're all fucked in the head. So why did you guys want to fuck in a graveyard? We'll get to your coworker in a sec. I need to understand this point of view.
Well, I live in Utah, and for some reason there's like a ton of graveyards here.
No, honestly, you can say less. You said you live in Utah. That makes it all add up real fast. So how did you meet your coworker? Through work?
Yeah, so...
That was such a fucking stupid question. Where did you meet your coworker? Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
We all collectively, I think, have a brain cell and a half. Like, we are fucked.
For real. I basically have half a brain cell at this point.
Oh, God. So... What kind of work do you guys do? Like, you don't have to tell me where you work, but, like, what is the genre?
So I used to work at McDonald's, like, right when I graduated from high school. So this was, like, the summer I graduated from high school.
Okay. So it's not the summer you turned pretty. It's the summer you fucked in a graveyard. Okay. So you guys met at McDonald's.
Yeah. So basically... We, like, met through that, and he, like, randomly was, like, texting me one day, like, on Snapchat, and he asked if I wanted to hang out, and I was like, sure, why not, because I didn't have anything else better to do.
Okay, I mean, yeah, the summer after you graduate high school, it's, like, that really is, like, the one summer where it's, like, your last moment of freedom. How old is this guy, and, like, how'd you guys been... talking at work before, or was this just like out of the blue?
We had been talking like a little bit, but I was like with someone else, and then we broke up, and it was like a couple weeks later was when he was like slid into the DMs, I guess.
Oh my God, damn, he didn't even let the body get cold.
Pretty much.
Oh my God, this man was on it. Okay, so what does he hit you up on Snapchat saying? Like, what did he have game?
I honestly don't remember.
So that's a no, because I think you would remember if he had game.
No, I just have memory loss from having depression since I was like 11, so.
No, I feel that one a little too close to home.
So, but yeah, basically he asked if I wanted to hang out and I was like, sure. So he ended up walking from like the McDonald's to my house, which was like, I think like 2 miles away.
Okay, maybe he was just, you know, trying to get that Fitbitting.
And so basically we just kind of like ended up walking around my neighborhood until we like got to the cemetery, because like my neighborhood is by a cemetery.
No, I'm gathering that one. I can't imagine this man walked that much further. but wait a minute. You guys go for a walk together. You're quote unquote hanging out. You get to the graveyard and then you both are like, so, yep, I'm in the mood. Let's fuck.
Basically.
That's crazy, girl. What?
I mean, I had gone to the same graveyard before and did stuff with like a different guy, but it wasn't like full on like everything.
Girl, I don't even like to be in my car next to a graveyard. What do you fucking mean that this wasn't your first rodeo? Do you have a little death kink?
Maybe. I don't really know.
No, are you in therapy?
Oh, yeah, I am. I've been in therapy since I was 13.
That's amazing. I love that. Go off, queen. This is your next session, okay? You're talking about this, and I need answers, because, girl, how many times have you done something in a graveyard?
Just those few times. After the second time, I was like, yeah, I shouldn't do that again.
Okay. I don't believe you, but we will move on. So you guys get to the graveyard all horned up.
Basically. Yeah, I low-key don't remember if it was good or not, but I'm guessing probably not.
No, I think you would remember if it were good, you know?
Yeah, probably.
So how did this come to be? Like, you guys get to the cemetery and then you guys are literally just like, so you wanna fuck?
Basically.
That's crazy. Girl,
I don't remember the like specifics of it, but basically that's what happened.
He didn't have a condom with him, did he?
No, he did.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, girl, if you fucked raw in the cemetery, that really is some bad fucking juju. Literally.
For real. Literally just get possessed by a ghost baby.
So did anything paranormal happen? Well, besides y'all fucking in a graveyard?
No, but that's not the worst thing that happened. So, like, basically, I quit that job because I was moving away to school. And then, so I was in college. This was, like, I don't remember. I think it was maybe, like, 4 or 5 months later.
Okay.
And mind you that this happened the same week that I found out that one of my grandmas passed away.
Oh my God. Okay, this episode is spooky for a lot of reasons. One of them being, this is now 2 for 2 calls with dead grandmas. So, wow. Okay, so.
Yeah, basically I found out that my grandma died on Instagram because none of my like family members like told me in time, I guess. So I found out on Instagram.
Bro, that's that's diabolical. Like, finding out your grandma died is bad enough. Finding out your grandma died via Instagram, bitch, that's fucking crazy.
I know, crazy. So basically I was in a group chat with like my friend group at the time, and they sent me like a link, and I clicked on it, and I found out that the guy that I had hooked up with got arrested for doing stuff with children. So maybe do a background check on who you hook up with.
Girl, that is the fucking spookiest part of the story. Huh?
Yeah, it's honestly kind of crazy because one of my other coworkers ended up working at the jail that he got sent to. So she got to see him like
suffer
pretty frequently, which was weird.
Oh, pretty frequently. Okay, got it. Yeah, no, that's pretty fucking weird. Holy shit. What a bummer for him. If only he'd become a beauty creator on YouTube, then he wouldn't go to jail, apparently. So how does that feel? Like, luckily, knock on wood, I've never had this experience where, like, I've hooked up with someone and then find out that they're literally a vile human being. Did you, like, contact? Well, no, I guess he was in jail, right?
No, I, like, never talked to him, like, after I, like, quit that job.
Oh, okay, period. How much time was between you guys hooking up and then you quitting?
I think it was maybe, like, a month.
Oh, okay. Was work weird with you guys? Like, did you guys, like, not acknowledge each other or, like...
No, we did, but, like, he ended up telling everyone that we, like, hooked up, but I don't know if he, like, told them the specifics, but... I think like a couple weeks after we hooked up, he moved on to a different coworker anyway. So I was just like, eh, whatever.
Oh my God. This man needs to be more than in jail. He needs to be put down. What are you talking about? He's the one who is telling that secret and not the big one he's holding in? I would have shit out of him. Oh my God. I mean, like, are you okay? Like, I know the answer to this, but like, girl.
I mean, obviously, like, when it was first happening, I was kind of like, what the fuck did I do? Like, but now I can kind of like look back on it and like laugh about it. Obviously, it's not like funny what he did.
No, but like you do have to be able to look at life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and be able to like laugh it off at least. Like, oh my God, that's some fucking news to receive.
Oh yeah. And then I think it was like a little bit after that, I had found out that one of my managers at the location I was working at was also on the like sex offender registry. So I was like, that's amazing.
Was this a McDonald's with one of those fucking playgrounds?
Oh, yeah.
No! Wait. If your manager was also on the list, how was he even able to work there?
I honestly have no idea. I'm guessing they just didn't do a background check or it just wasn't for anything, like, super serious. I honestly don't know, but... I heard that they moved him to a different store without, like, the play area, and then he, like, quit.
Girl, move him to a different store, a store called jail. What? Don't move the fucking... They're like, well, we moved him to a place with no playground, so... Huh? Bro, this show has made me terrified of the general public. Like, oh my God, you have no idea the people you talk to. Oh my God, that is horrific.
I know.
I don't even know what else to say. Like, between fucking in a graveyard and then him being a child predator, I'm gagged.
I mean, clearly I just have a bad judgment in men.
Wow, your therapist lights are gonna stay on. Holy shit.
Oh yeah, no, she will be employed by me for the rest of my life.
She is being taken care of. You are whining and dining, mama. Oh my God. Thank you, ? For sharing this on Chris vs. the People. I'm gagged. Like, wow.
My gosh. Well, thanks for calling me. I love your videos. They have me at, like, your cooking and your drinking videos. I'm like rolling on the floor laughing every time.
Thank you. That really means a lot to me. It really does. I don't have any semblance of what these videos are anymore. So to hear that is very meaningful. So thank you.
Oh my gosh, yes. Please keep making them. I will watch them every time.
Fuck yeah. Okay. I'm on it, girl.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Alrighty, I will talk to you later.
Alright, sounds good.
Bye. Stay out of graveyards.
I will.
Bye.
Hey, bye.
Y'all, what the fuck? I mean, like, what do you even say about that? I really thought, like, the firkin' in a graveyard was going to be the wildest part. I didn't realize that the guy would end up being James Charles. Anyways, we're just going to keep on moving because we have another phone call. This episode of Chris vs. the People is brought to you by Upwork. One of the biggest growth hacks is realizing you don't have to do everything by yourself. And that's where Upwork comes in. Upwork makes it easy to bring in the right freelancer when you need them so you can stay focused on what you do best. For those of you who don't know, Upwork is a one-stop platform to find, hire, and pay expert freelancers across web and software development, data and analytics, marketing, business operations, and more. What I love about Upwork is that it really helps you grow your business by giving you fast access to specialized talent across over 125 different categories, so you can fill skill gaps, you can launch projects faster, and you can scale support up or down without committing to a full-time headcount. Upwork makes it super easy. You can browse profiles, you can review past work, and get help scoping the role so you can hire with confidence and get started quickly. And with Upwork's Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork. And with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours, which means no endless searching is required. And on top of all of that, Upwork also cuts down operational hassle by handling things like contracts and payments in one place. So again, you can spend more time actually just running the business. The gag of it all is it is free to sign up and posting a job is easy. So visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. Again, that is UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. And with that being said, let's get back to this spooky episode.
Chris.
Hi, Josh. Welcome to Chris vs. the People. What little paranormal story do you have for us today?
Hi, Chris. First of all, thank you for the chance to chat with you. My little paranormal story is I was haunted by a dead Victorian child while trying to do my job of shooting a freaking wedding.
okay, what?
Yes, so.
When was this?
This was probably, I'm going to say maybe November. Yeah, around then.
Oh, like recently?
Oh, yes, recently. And I'm going to go ahead and give you a preface. There's like no real good ending to this story. Like it kind of, I mean, there is obviously storytelling, but I'm saying there's no real resolution, even for me. And it took me probably a week to be able to like wrap my head around what happened / what I was told happened and let it go. Like it really shook me to my core.
You sound shaken to your core. I know it was like 6 months ago maybe, but like you sound shaken.
Yes, mama, I was shaken, mama. Okay.
Okay, so
let me set the scene for you.
Thank you, yeah.
Okay, so I have a friend, her name is Carissa. She is a wedding photographer, and I am also a photographer, but I don't typically do weddings, okay? So she hires me a lot to come in and help shoot films, so that's what they call like a second shooter.
Yeah.
And so typically during the wedding day, I'm only shooting film.
Are you shooting film like photography or like film video?
No, film photography.
Okay, just checking.
So I literally can't even see the photos for days after the wedding, which that'll come up.
No, that's the second I realized that you were shooting film photography, I was like, oh no.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll give you some context about where I was at so that you or the listeners could do your own little research and verify that I'm telling the fucking truth, okay? Because this shit was crazy, girl.
I mean, if you're calling into the show to tell a fake story, that's probably the scariest part of the episode. That is spooky for sure.
True. No, that'd be scarier than what actually happened, okay? Because I will say this little boy, while he was a dead Victorian child, he was nice or kind, I guess.
Oh.
Question mark.
Okay.
Do with that what you will.
Noted.
Okay, so this place is called the Bourne Mansion. It's out on Long Island. It used to be owned by the president of, like, the Singer Sewing Company, apparently. I'm not really sure.
The Bourne Mansion, just right off the rip, sounds wildly haunted.
I know. And let me tell you, when you step one foot in this place, it feels a little off. You're like, oh, okay, like, very strange. And then what's even darker is that the little boy died on Christmas Eve, supposedly. And the way he died, and this is why, of course, he's still in the house, there apparently, it has since been covered, but there apparently was a pool in the basement. Who the fuck has a pool in the basement? Like, that's when you know you have money that you don't know what to do with, right? Like, you're doing too much if you got a pool in the basement, girl. So this little boy on Christmas Eve sneaks down to the pool in the basement. I guess he wanted to swim, play. I have no clue. But apparently he drowned in the pool, and that was that.
And who's telling you this?
Oh, this is all online, mama.
Oh, okay, papa.
This is all online.
Okay, wow.
Yes, this is all online.
And so people feel inclined to have weddings here?
It is a literal, whoever purchased it since then, it's a wedding venue. Like, that is predominantly what it does now. Services is literally weddings. Why would you want to have your wedding at a place where it is famously known that a boy drowned?
Because I'm sure they didn't know. I'm sure they were like me and they were like, look at this beautiful home.
Literally. They're like, oh, look at this. And it's probably cheap, knowing, you know what I'm saying, or cheaper than other venues because they know that a deterrent is going to be that somebody died there.
Oh, my God. So if you Google, like, the Bourne Mansion, does this come up?
Yes. Okay, well, wait. You have to Google, like, Bourne Mansion death, or I don't even remember what I Googled
okay,
when
so
I found it, but you have to be a little more specific.
Okay, so if I were, like, just looking up the Bourne Mansion for a wedding, and I typed in the Bourne Mansion, I wouldn't necessarily find this information.
Probably not, unless you were really digging.
Okay, got
you
it.
You know?
Okay.
But it's, like, it's on the Wikipedia page about the Bourne Mansion, so it's like, well, girl, y'all need to do your research.
Not the Wikipedia page. But in these people's defenses, when you're doing, like, a wedding venue, you're not expecting to find that a Victorian child died in the basement pool.
True.
You know?
Very true.
Like, I'm just more so looking at the pictures. Like, I don't care when it was founded or when it was erected. Like, I just care if it looks good in pictures.
Right. Okay. So here's now my experience with the Bourne Mansion. Okay. So when I get there actually in the day, I mean, of course we spend all day pretty much there. We didn't really have any issues. Like I said, when you first step in, it's a little off-putting because it is very old. And wait, here's one of the kickers that I thought was fucking crazy. There is literally no art in the whole place, like nothing on the walls in the whole place, except for in the main space that used to be, like, I guess the dining room or whatever. I don't know. They use it as, like, the cocktail hour space now. There is a fireplace and there is a painting of the boy over the fireplace. That is the only art in the whole place.
I just got, like, literally the worst kind of chills, babe.
Same. Like, I'm actually starting to shake a little because when I think about it, it does kind of freak me out, even though in the moment I was trying to be so chill because I didn't want this Victorian child to actually, like, latch himself onto me and not let go.
Wait, so...
Okay,
so you're in this artless home. The only art is of the boy. You didn't know that boy was going to have such a big meaning in your life when you saw it, correct?
No,
okay.
I surely did not.
So you didn't feel, like, haunted at this point. How were you being haunted by the child?
Okay, so later into the evening, it is now, like, dinner has gone. Of course, the ceremony is over. Dinner is kind of, like, in progress because, you know, at weddings, they really drag that shit out. So it's kind of like dinner and dancing. So they have this huge dance hall that's really beautiful, I will say, okay? And it has a balcony that overlooks the dance hall. So me wanting to be, you know, a little creative gay that I am, I'm like, oh, wait, a pic from the balcony would be kind of cute, right? So there's, like, a bridal attendant who works at the mansion who, like, you know, follows the bride and groom around all day and basically gets them anything that they want or need. So I had, of course, as we're also with the bride and groom all day, I'm like, okay, well, you know, me and this girl have made friends. So let me go ask her if it's even possible for me to get up there. So I go over to her, I point up at the balcony, and her face, all the emotion immediately just falls off her face. And she goes, let me guess, you want to go up there? And I just kind of shook my head and I said, can I? Like, am I allowed? And she said, yes, I'll take you to get the key, but I'm not coming with you. And that should have been my first red flag, Chris.
Girl, that should have been your fucking first, second, third, fourth, and fifth red flag.
I know, mama. Yeah, I know.
If the fucking venue staff doesn't want to go with you, babes, it's haunted.
Exactly. And I should have known. Okay, I should have known. My sweet little innocent self, I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be no big deal. This, like, she's just being dramatic. So she takes me to a closet to get the key. Then she takes me to the door that the key unlocks. She gives me the key, takes a step back, watches me unlock the door, and then says, good luck, and walks away. That should have been red flag number two.
That woman is sick of creative gay people. Jesus Christ. I'm crying.
And let me tell you, she knew what she was doing. She knew what she was doing. I can tell you that. You know what I'm saying? She's like, I'm going to get this boy. Like, he's going to get what is, you know, what comes his way, because he said he wanted to go up there. And honestly, I don't blame her. If I worked there, I'd probably done the same thing.
So what happened in this door?
Okay. So as soon as I open the door, you know how people say, and I've always thought this is like so dramatic, but you know how people say when they feel like there's a presence, like things get kind of cold out of nowhere?
Yeah.
Like really cold. Okay. So I open this door. First of all, not a single light on, okay? The only light, it's a hallway, by the way. It's like an L, think of it as like an L-shaped hallway where I'm at the elbow. So I can see to my left a tinier hallway, and I can see straight ahead of me the longer part of it, right?
Okay.
And all of this whole wing of the house, well, the second story wing, this side of the house is completely like blocked off to the guest. So the only light that is shining into the hallway is from the window of the door to the balcony to the dance hall. So that just tells you it's dark as fuck, and all you can see is a little bit of light shining from a window and a door.
I hate this.
So, but I, of course, know, like, oh, that's where I'm headed, right? Because I had seen the door from the other side on the balcony. So I start to walk towards the door, and like I said, it's suddenly so chilly. And I'm just like, okay, like I can kind of feel that it's starting to feel a little off. And I know that this is probably crazy. And like I would have been so embarrassed had somebody caught me, but I just started talking out loud to almost to him.
No, I would have done the same fucking thing. Like, and I was in a fucking antique store, and like it was the way it is laid out is like all these different vendors have like a section of this giant building.
Yes.
And I was walking through somebody's and I was like, ooh, this feels off. So I was like, hi, I'm accepting you. Like, you're good. Like, I love you. If you love me, we're a happy family. E-I-E-I-O. Like, 100%.
Okay, so that's exactly what I start doing, basically, is just talking out loud, saying, hey, I'm just here to take some photos. Like, I don't mean any harm. Don't worry about me. Like, I mean, I'm just kind of saying it over and over again, almost like it's a mantra, because I felt so, like, off that I literally felt like I had no other defense.
How long was this hallway?
Oh, no, not long at all. Like,
oh, okay.
8 feet to the door, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But of course, I have to get to the hallway, I have to get out to the balcony, snap a few pics, and then I've got to come back. So I'm just trying to lay the groundwork of being like, I mean no harm.
Totally.
So I go to the balcony. I also want to give you some context. It's about 8:45 at this point, okay? And I know this because I end up taking an iPhone photo from the balcony of, like, the dance party from above. And later on, when I'm trying to piece the night together, I see the timestamp as 8:45, right? So I go up to the balcony, snap a few pics. Literally, that's that. Like, nothing, you know, else happens. I walk back through the hallway. I'm talking out loud again, like, hey, I mean no harm, this and that. When I lock the door, I notice that Carissa has texted me and is like, hey, our dinner's ready, so meet me in this room. So I go to meet her in that room, and I sit down, And she, I was telling her like, oh, I just went to the second story, da 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 da. Like, the girl gave me the key, and she was all freaked out. And like, I'm gonna be honest, I definitely felt like weird energy, but I didn't. Like, you know, I mean, I didn't have much to say at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so she's like, oh, my God, that's crazy, this and that. Okay, so now it's probably 9-ish because we've eaten a little. She gets up and goes back to the wedding to start shooting. I finish eating. Chris, I do not remember anything else that happens from that point on. That is the part that freaked me out the most, okay? Because I get home later. And it almost feels like I've been blackout drunk. Like, I start thinking back on the evening and I'm like, wait, how did the evening end? Like, I don't remember the cake being cut. I don't remember saying bye.
Were you drinking at all? Like, are you on any medication? Like,
no. I mean, you girl, just like you, I love a little Mary Jane, okay?
Oh, well, yeah.
I'd been at this wedding since like 9 a.m. By no means do I have anything in my system.
No, 100%. No, totally.
And I'm working, so I'm not allowed to drink at the wedding. So it's like literally I know that I'm stone cold sober. And like I said, the wedding was kind of far out. So I probably don't even get back home until like 1:30 in the morning, maybe. And this is when I'm trying to like piece together the night again. And like I said, I realize I don't remember anything past dinner. And of course, I shoot film, so I can't even look back through the camera roll to see what I did capture, what I didn't capture, this and that. So I start texting Farissa, being like, hey, something really weird is happening to me and I'm trying not to freak out, but like, here's the situation. So of course I explain it to her.
And this is when you've gotten home from the wedding, right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So this is like 2 a.m. that night, 1:30, 2 a.m., something like that. So she is, you know, very receptive. Her and I are great friends. So she was very gracious, but she told me that I fell asleep as soon as we got in the Uber on the way home, which never happens. Her and I always do a debrief. I fell asleep as soon as we got in the car. I did not wake up when the Uber dropped her off. I only woke up when he got to my house. So then I'm like, well, that's very out of character for me. And she said, I did wake up at one point, which I don't remember this. And I said to her that I just felt so drained. And that's just a very interesting word to choose, considering what we now know about that place. So I felt almost like he had just sucked the energy like completely out of my body to the point where I just felt like almost fell asleep, like passed out in a way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like not in a scary, harmful way, but just, they do say that spirits, like they obviously all they have is energy. So they have to be able to get that from somewhere.
Oh my God.
And that is just so fucking freaky. So then here's the kicker. 3 days later, that night when I'm piecing all the things together, I'm looking through my camera roll. That's how I see that I was on the balcony at 8:45. Then I see another photo from the balcony, except this one's timestamped 9:50. So that means I went to the balcony for a second time, and I do not remember going to the balcony for a second time. So a couple days later, when the film finally comes back, I have two photos on the camera roll from the balcony. One is the first that I remember taking of like the dance floor from above. The second is also the dance floor, except in the foreground of the photo is the back of a head of a woman and a man with their arms wrapped around each other. It is not the wedding couple because there's a flash, so you can see how they're dressed. It's definitely not the bride and groom. So I'm realizing that the second photo was taken when I was on the balcony the second time that obviously I do not remember. So I have literally no clue who this man and woman are that either I took to the balcony or they asked how to get there. And I was like, oh, let me show you. Like, literally, I have no fucking clue. I just have a photo of the back of their heads and you can see the dance floor way below in the background. Is that not outrageous?
It's definitely like uncomfortable. Like I just remembered that there's no fucking resolution to this story because I'm like, wait, what? Do you have the picture?
Yes.
Wait, can you text it to the number?
Yeah. Do you want me to do it right now?
Oh my God. Yeah. Can we put it in the episode?
Of course you can. Oh, wait, actually, because it's not my wedding, I don't really know about the legality of that.
Okay, got it. I just want to see it then.
But to be honest, you can't really tell you can't tell anything really from the photo other than the back of their heads. And, I mean, they're not going to fucking listen. So sure, yeah, you can use it in that episode. I don't care.
Okay.
Do whatever you want, Chris.
Okay.
I love you. You can have it.
Oh, thank you. No, I just...
Let me see if I can find it right now.
Okay. I just, like, it's hard hearing this story because it's obviously I believe you. Again, that would be insane if you're making this up, but it's just like the logical part of my brain kicks in and I'm just...
Oh, I know.
I'm just like, how did this... did your friend not say, like, hey, you were acting weird throughout the night? Like, did she see you at all?
She didn't say that I was acting weird. Of course, I explained the situation to her. But she didn't have much context because unfortunately during these, weddings, of course, her and I are not, it's not like we're side by side, you know, cause we're trying to get different things.
Yeah.
So we're usually kind of on our own.
Okay.
When she recounted the Uber ride home, that's when she told me that I was like the most different she had ever seen. And remember I said, like, I had said to her that I felt so drained and then I just passed out. And she said the me falling asleep thing was like very, very, very not like me, you know?
Oh my God.
I know.
But you have pictures throughout the night, right?
I mean, here, honestly, Chris, since I'm going to try to find this one anyway, I'll send you like the couple of photos that I've referenced about the evening, like the iPhone photo, like from the balcony. I'll send you those as well, just so that you can see. But it was seriously insane.
No, but like, I mean, like on your film camera, you have photos throughout the night, yeah?
Yes, yes. And I have photos on the film roll from after I was like incoherent. And I don't remember taking them, but they look fine. You know what I mean? Like,
that is really fucking weird. Because like, if you had just like not had any pictures and were like asleep in a coat closet, I'd be like, okay, mama, you have been possessed. But like the fact that, like, to me, it's just hard to like understand not having taken anything or drank anything and then just blacking. Like that to me, I've never had that. I guess sometimes when I'm driving, not that I like black out, but like, you know, when you like drive somewhere and you're like, wait, how did I get here?
Of course.
Like, that's, like, the closest to which I can relate to this. But, like, I'm fucking gooped, bitch. I did not enjoy this story at all.
No, I know. Okay, so, by the way, it was October 12th. I just found out.
Okay.
So, I'm going to pull these up, and I'm going to text them to you. I also have a photo from the ground floor, like, shooting up at the balcony, so you can kind of see.
Was there a little boy in any of your pictures? Like, was... Did he...
No. Thankfully, no. Because that would have freaked me the fuck out.
No. Well, that's what I thought... Well, I don't think it would freak me out as much as seeing a random fucking couple.
Well, true.
And you...
I guess true.
Are you able to, like, cross-reference your friend's photos to be like, who are these people?
So... I mean, I have an idea of who they could have been potentially from the evening because there was one of the groomsmen that was bald and the guy is bald in the photo. So it's very likely because, like, of course, all the bridesmaids and groomsmen, we kind of like vibe all day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so, like, I'm thinking, like, did they see you up on the balcony and be like, oh, can we get a picture up there?
I mean, I guess theoretically that could have happened.
And I get that you don't have, like, clarity on what happened. Like, I'm just, like, spooked out. I don't fuck with, like, paranormal shit because, like, I do believe in it. And, like...
Exactly. No, same.
I just, like, I mean no harm. I love you. You love me. We're a big happy family, remember? Yeah.
And for us, you know, that's the consequence of, like, growing up in the church in some capacity, you know? It's like, I will never be able to let that feeling go.
Oh, my God. I never thought about it being connected to being, like, in the church growing up. But you might be onto something, King.
I feel like that's why we're so sensitive to it. Because think about, like, the modern evangelical church, they love to be, like, freaking you out about spiritual warfare things that you can't see or feel. So you have all these grandiose ideas of terror that realistically, like, don't really make much sense, but that doesn't mean they're easy to let go.
Huh. That's really something to think of. Damn.
Exactly. Okay, well, so Chris, here's what I'm going to say. I'm texting you the iPhone photos. I'm struggling to find the...
You don't have to send them right now.
I'm going to make sure that I find it and send it to you tonight.
Okay.
Regardless. I just don't know if it'll be the second.
That's totally fine. Honestly, if you send it when we're doing the after show, I'll show the people on the after show. And
okay, deal.
If you want to see it, you got to join. But thank you so much for sharing this. I mean, like, I don't fully mean thank you, because, like, I'm...
I know.
Low-key kind of terrified now. Like, I don't claim this. I don't claim this. I don't claim this. Hoorah, hoorah, hoorah.
Nope.
But, like, I definitely feel off-put. I feel put off.
No, I couldn't agree more.
Wow.
And literally, that's kind of it. Like I said, there's no resolution. So I'm going to try to find the screen grabs of the film photos that are a little off so that you can see those too.
Okay. Oh my
because
God.
I've got stories galore, as I'm sure you saw. So you just call me back anytime, King.
Okay. I will. I'm going to go visit my priest really quick and then I'll give you a call.
Yeah. You know what? I might join you in that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll see you at church, Diva.
Oh, deal, babe. So good to talk to you.
You too. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye. Y'all. What in the supernatural fuck was that? I just don't fuck with this shit. Like, I'm not saying, like, it's bad and I don't fuck with it. Like, and I'm not calling it shit because, like, I love you again, spirits. But, like, ooh, I just don't like things that are, like, one, open-ended, and two, like, defy, like, the human experience. Oh, it's so... Okay, producer, no more of these episodes. I just, like, don't. Ooh. Like, I'm 32 and afraid of the dark still. Like, hello. Anyways, that's the end of the episode. What an off-putting note to end on. But if you have any little spooky stories or want to be on a future episode, be sure to fill out the form in the description of every episode. In the description, it says, be on the show. And then there's a link. You click that and fill it out. If you're watching the video episode, be sure to comment down below if you have any spooky, paranormal, death kind of stories. And again, be sure to subscribe to Chris vs. the People wherever you get your podcasts. It would mean so much, and it helps so much if you can go give this 5 stars and leave a little review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if I don't see you on the Chris vs. the People after show, I will see you next week. Bye, y'all.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.